Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. If you're wanting to successfully plan relevant lessons for any student or grade level, are ready to confidently design a curriculum that works for you and your students, or are overwhelmed when it comes to planning lessons and designing curriculum, then I would love for you to join me in the Curriculum Design Roadmap course. In this course, you will go from feeling overwhelmed with planning lessons each week to feeling excited to show up to work each day, and experience a new joy and passion for teaching elementary music because you've designed a classroom that you love. Think about how it would feel to go from feeling frustrated to successful when you sit down to plan lessons each week. Imagine how you'll grow as a teacher because you're teaching with confidence. And think about what will happen when you realize you are an expert to design your own curriculum. In just 5 weeks, you'll go from not having a curriculum in place to designing one that you love and that you will begin to use year after year. So if you're ready to join me in the Curriculum Design Roadmap course, simply head to jessicaparesta.teachable.com/p/curriculum-design-roadmap, and I cannot wait to see you inside.
I'm Chris Nessie, host of Behind the Mic, Voices of the EPN, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to be back today with another solo episode. And today is all about reframing what makes a good music teacher. I have had this episode on my heart for a while now, and for a couple different reasons. But you hear the phrase, oh, that's a good music teacher, or that music teacher over there is doing a good job, or I don't know, just those phrases or something like that that are on social media, or maybe you heard of a music teacher doing a performance or program and they got amazing accolades and they were told they're such a good music teacher. And it just got me thinking about what really does make a good music teacher. And maybe you've viewed yourself before as not being a, and I'm putting this in quotations, if you look at the title of the episode, not being a good enough music teacher. And I want to break this episode down into 5 different parts and talk about what does make a good music teacher and how can you view yourself as a good music teacher, because you already are one, by the way. I had mentioned this before, but I had sat in 2 interviews that I was being interviewed, and I remember just I could just kind of tell one of the principals, she was kind of looking for a specific type of music teacher. She wanted someone with a musical theater background. Newsflash, that's not me. I'm not a musical theater person at all. I did accompany musical theater in college. I loved it. I love musical theater. I just am not... I'm not ever really been involved in theater myself. And in fact, incorporating theater into a musical performance is not something that I couldn't do. It's just not something I have done. I don't feel like we're speaking of being a good enough music teacher. I'm good enough in that area, if I can be honest. I could also tell she wanted someone that was really great at arts integration. And I have dabbled in that. I have studied it. I have taken professional development trainings and things, but I would not say by any means I'm an arts integration expert. I have a lot to learn, as we all do, right? We're never done learning. And I could also tell that this person wanted someone who could keep to continue a choir that they've had going for a while for third and fourth grade. And I have done children's choirs. I have started a children's choir at my first teaching position, and I have accompanied children's choirs, but I'm not a vocalist. I'm an instrumental person. And so those things, just because I was not qualified at them or would not view myself as being well-versed in those different areas, does not mean I'm not a good enough music teacher though. And what's funny is I did get offered the position, but this is the job I didn't take, by the way. But anyways, I was driving home from that interview, and what's funny is those thoughts came in my mind of, you should know how to do that. Why don't you have more experience with musical theater? Why did you never really work with a children's choir more ever since you moved from Oklahoma to Arkansas? And all these thoughts go through my brain of, why didn't you? You should have. You could have done that. And all these negative thoughts, which we've talked a lot about on this podcast, that will rear their ugly head from time to time. But just like I've told you to do before, I did the same thing. I allowed those thoughts to come in my mind. I thought them through. And then I processed through them and said, you know what? It doesn't mean I'm not a good music teacher. It just means I'm skilled in other areas. And I'm proud of that. I am proud of the skill set I bring to the world of music education. I am proud of the fact that no two music teachers are alike. I am proud of the fact that we all teach music in different ways, and we do all have different backgrounds and different instruments that we feel confident in teaching, and different instruments we majored in, for that matter. Let's be honest. We are not the same musicians. So why would we be the same music teachers? So if you have felt like you're asked to do something at your school, whether it's a position you already have, or maybe like me, you found yourself in an interview and you're like, whoa, I don't know, I don't feel very confident in that area, then I'm going to tell you, first of all, that you are a good enough music teacher. And I'm also going to break, like I said, this down into five different areas and talk to you about how you can reframe maybe negative thoughts you've been feeling and how to reframe them into positive and feeling confident in who you are already. The person you are is who you need to be. So the first section I want to talk about is lessons. When you're planning lessons for your students, every single school will have a different time allotted to how long you're going to teach your students music in the music room. They may come to you 30 minutes. They may come 45 minutes. They may come 50. They may come once a week, twice a week. They may come every other week. I actually had a conversation with a music teacher who's in my Harmony community last week, who is at a school where she sees one group of students for a semester and then a different group of students second semester. And I was like, wow, that is something I know it's not uncommon, but I've never dealt with. And so when you're planning lessons, let's think about this summer. You probably sat in a lot of different professional development opportunities, which is amazing. And I 100% think you should continue doing that. But you're going to hear either the presenter will talk to you about something they've done, or in the chat, or in that community, let's say there's a Facebook group or whatever, where everybody's sharing ideas. Well, you see the idea, but sometimes you don't see behind the idea, where maybe they see their students a long time, or they have longer class periods, or they, leading up to that activity that looks like it's very in-depth, maybe that has been 4 years in the planning. You don't know. All you see is kind of like this idea being presented or the finished product, but you don't know really what's led up to that particular lesson being implemented with their students. You don't know what also professional development opportunities that music teacher has participated in order to get to the point where they can teach that lesson. So when you are preparing lessons, I don't want you to see these lesson ideas being taught to you or presented to you or shared with you and then immediately think, well, I'm not good enough because I've never done that, or I'm not a good enough music teacher because I don't know if I can do that. So I want you to not think those thoughts, because maybe it's a matter of you can't do it right now, but you can next year. Or maybe it's a matter of you can do it, it will just take some research or planning on your part. So don't let yourself just think, I'm not a good enough music teacher if I can't plan ... lesson. The next section I want to talk about is performances. I just shared the fact that I don't feel qualified in teaching a musical theater performance. Or, you know, I just don't. I know there's some great ones out there, and I'd love browsing. I feel like a stalker sometimes in these Facebook groups, but I even have my own music education Facebook groups, and I'm in there all the time. I would say I'm kind of a lurker. I would use that word over stalker, actually. And I love seeing the ideas shared. There are some music teachers, even elementary ones, who are so passionate, and maybe you're listening, and this is you, about putting on a musical theater performance. I just feel like, for me, it makes me feel like some stress, because I'm like, how the heck do you practice and prepare and get the kids ready and get costumes and backdrops and have them help memorize their lines and all these things? It honestly just is something that I don't feel confident in. But here's something that I talked about the interview that I want to tell you that I said in my interview. And it wasn't just so, oh, let me say something so they like my answer, but this is what I said, and this is what I agree with. I said, I'm going to be completely honest with you in the fact that I have not done a lot of musical theater performances, but I have done a lot of performances and programs with elementary music students all the way from pre-K through fifth grade. And I can tell you that when I did my very first musical performances, I didn't know what I was doing. You kind of learn about it in college. I helped out my cooperating teacher when I was student teaching. She put this ginormous veterans program on, and I learned kind of the ins and outs of how to do it, but I still didn't know how to plan my own. I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do, how to do it, how to put it together, how long it should be, how many songs to include. And I just kind of figured it out as I went, from having conversations with my administrator about her expectations, talking to the teachers in the building about maybe what they did before I got there because there wasn't a music teacher. And then I just started slowly figuring out my approach of what I wanted to do, what really resonated with me and my personality and my style. So I shared that story in my interview. I really shortened it down because I didn't want to just do a running monologue. But what I told her is, just because I've never really put on a musical theater performance, I have been a part of musical theater before in one way or another, whether being in the audience or, like I said, I was a piano accompanist. And it doesn't, and just because it might be new to me, I know I could figure out how to do it just like I did other musical performances. So that's what I want to say to you. When it comes to performances and programs, you might be like me. Maybe musical theater is like, that's nothing. But maybe it's more like putting on a choir performance, or maybe it's more like, I don't know how to get my kindergartners to perform for 20 minutes on the risers. And you're feeling like you're not good enough because you maybe have seen other performances, or you, like me, your cooperating teacher put on some amazing programs and you're just sitting there like, I'm not good enough. I don't have the skills it takes to do this. You do have the skills it takes, but I want you to remember that everything is a learning opportunity. There is nothing presented to you as a music teacher that you're not going to have to learn through it a little bit. It's not just going to be like, oh, I just magically know how to do this. So whatever performances you are required to do, because it's going to be different school to school even. And I just want you to know that you are good enough to do it, and just take the time to learn how. And then what's really cool is the next year, it will get easier because you're going to already have that learning curve under your belt. The third area I want to talk about is assessment. In your music classroom, there are so many thoughts around assessment in the music classroom. How much formal assessment should I do? How much informal assessment should I do? Should I do written work? Should I not do written work? There's so much that goes into it. And I remember getting so stressed out in my first teaching position about, I don't know how much, should I enter in a grade book? Oh, the classroom teachers are doing this much work. Maybe I should do that in the music room. I don't know what it means by observing my students and participation. And I don't know what that means. I don't know how to track that. I don't know how much of it to grade per se. I know I need to turn in a grade, but how am I supposed to do that? Is there some written book that tells me how much of each thing to assess in the music room? It caused me to feel inadequate and like, I should kind of know what I'm doing in here, but I feel like if people understood how much I was just kind of faking it till I made it, they would be looking at me like, why are you in here? But let's reframe that. Whether you do one formal assessment, 27 formal assessments, whether you do a lot of singing or instruments or movement or written work or a lot of technology, Chromebooks, iPads, whatever else, it's your music classroom. So what you do is good enough. If your students are learning music and you are assessing them in whatever way that looks like for you, and if kindergarten looks differently than fifth grade, well, it should, by the way, it's okay. And it's also okay if you meet a music teacher and they're assessing their students differently than you. Well, that's their classroom and that's their system they've come up with. And I feel like you can always learn something new from other music teachers, but it doesn't mean you have to do it exactly the way they do. So that's how I work with music teachers when I'm working with them. Like when we are going through the curriculum design roadmap course, this is actually a question I answered a couple months ago from one of the students. And I give templates and curriculum map and scope and sequence where you can make it your own and then talk to you about how to find different activities and lessons to plug in and what to use and how to do it. And I remember this person emailing me and just being like, but how do I get started? And I said, you just do. You just find what you want to use. And there's a lot more detail, but I'm just giving the short answer. And then you just start. Because whether it's lesson planning or assessment, the cool thing is, and this is what I emailed this person, is once you get started, then you'll figure out, oh, I like this approach, or I might need to change it up a little bit because this isn't working like I thought it would work in my head. So just get in there and start. Just make sure your students are learning music and just kind of assess where they are individually in whole class and then come up with a system that works for you. The fourth category is teaching methods. This is where a lot of music teachers can feel stuck. And I have seen even recently in my area, there was a private school that I saw post that they really wanted a Kadai certified teacher. And then also you see some schools that are more ORF focused, or you see some schools who they don't really advertise what they want. They just want a music teacher. And so when it comes to teaching methods, I know this is a lot of times where you can feel like you're not good enough if you see a certain role is asking for a particular certification and you don't have that, or you know a lot of the teachers in your district maybe are certified level 1, 2, or 3 in ORF Kadai or whatever the other ones are, and you know what they are. I'm not going to sit here and name them all right now. And you can feel like you're not good enough, where sometimes I feel like, don't send me hate email from this comment, but I'm just being honest. I remember getting my ORF level 1 certification. And I was at a workshop for music teachers in my district. And I remember the couple teachers talking about getting all the way through level 3. But it wasn't the way it wasn't like, awesome, that's great. But it was the way they were talking about it. Like, well, in level 3, we da 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 da. And oh, if you would keep going through level 3, you would learn this. Or I had a question and they're like, oh, well, when you take level 2 and level 3, you would have that answered. Well, that's great. But in that moment, I needed an answer. I didn't have 4 weeks left of the summer to take level 2 and level 3. So I just needed an answer right then. So I feel like sometimes there's good intentions, but there's some music teachers, and I'm not honestly even thinking of an individual right now. I'm just saying in general, who feel like, oh, I'm certified all through level 2 or level 3. So I just have it all together. And then you, who maybe don't have any, even a level one certification in a certain teaching methodology, you feel like you're less than, and you feel like maybe you're not equipped or skilled enough to teach music to your students. But guess what? You know, you're in your teaching position for a reason. You are in there teaching music to your students day in and day out. And just like we teach our students, there are always growth opportunities. I think it's important to look for them. I think it's important to acknowledge it. I think it's important to identify what you're needing in order to grow. And then it just sometimes is about making a decision about which one resonates with you. Or like I said, some districts are more Kadai focused and some are ORF, and sometimes you don't even know which way to go. And that was me. I didn't really know which way to go. I didn't have a certification even for the first 2 years of teaching. But guess what? I just taught. I didn't have any instruments, but I just taught. I didn't have a curriculum, but I just taught. And so I felt like I wasn't good enough many, many days. But it doesn't matter what teaching method you choose to teach with, even if you're not certified in level 1, 2, 3, 75, it doesn't matter to me. Just start teaching the way you teach. Get the training. Do the research. Read the articles. Go to workshops, even if you haven't taken a levels course yet, and pull the pieces from those that work for you. And then start teaching music. You can always change and adapt, but I don't want you to think you're not good enough just because you don't have that piece of paper telling you you are certified in whatever teaching methodology that you want to be certified in one day. But one day when you decide to do that, if you decide to do that, that's amazing too. But that's just having a certification. And those of you listening right now, don't hate me if you've gone all the way to level 3. I think that's great. It's something that I still have a goal to do. I just have not yet. This is not me bashing having a level 3 certification in any methodology. I promise that's not my goal here. But what I am saying is you are still a great music teacher, whether you have a levels course under your belt or not. So don't think you're not good enough just because of that. The last thing I want to talk about is your personality. I actually am going to be doing an episode soon about being an introverted teacher. So stick with me. It's coming soon in a couple months. But I don't care if you are shy, quiet, loud, a mixture of extroverted, introverted, if if noise gets to you, if the noise doesn't bother you, there's all kinds of different personalities in the music room. I see a lot of times, I work with music teachers every single week, and I see a lot of times what keeps music teachers stuck sometimes is the fact that they think they need to be more, insert the blank, more outgoing. They need to be more accommodating. They need to be more, incorporating more instruments. They need to be more flexible. They need whatever, insert the word. But what if you already are enough? What if your personality is already enough? What if it is exactly who you need to be? You're not in there playing a role of someone you're not. You're not trying to be someone else. You are just being you. And I feel like when you completely step into exactly who you are as a person and not trying to be someone else. And I know for me, when I was trying to overexert myself and really being extra, I don't know how else to say it. That's when I would leave school even more exhausted because I was trying so hard to keep up with the other music teachers I saw doing things a certain way instead of just being myself. And so maybe you kind of resonate with that in one way or another. I don't have a lot of specific examples, but all I want to say is don't think you're not good enough just because your personality isn't the same as the most outgoing music teacher you saw at a workshop presenting. And you're like, why can't I be more like that? Their music students must have a ball in their classroom. I'm over here like feeling like I'm a little bit boring, or I don't have that much personality to bring in. But you are enough. You are who you should be. And I just want you to really absorb that and take that in and not to doubt yourself and wish you were more like whoever. Okay. I'm going to give you a little secret right now. I have presented at a lot of workshops, whether in person or virtual. And I can tell you that when I'm presenting, it's a lot like this podcast. I'm very, you know, you have to talk to the mic and into the mic and, or with a guest, I'm very outgoing, very, I don't know, but the way I speak to adults is a little bit different than I speak to kids. The way I present at a workshop or a conference is not going to be the same as I'm presenting or teaching in front of a group of students. It's not that I'm having split personalities here, but what I'm saying is when you're seeing a presenter at a workshop presenting an idea, or they're like super bubbly and outgoing and bringing you this awesome lesson with all kinds of orph instruments and drums and movement and scarves and this and that and this and this, and they're not doing every one of those things every class period with their students. And if they are, then great. But I know I wasn't, and I'm still not with my current crew of students. I am excited, and I'm bringing my personality you're hearing on this podcast is my personality. I'm bringing the same personality, but the way I speak to kids is going to be a little bit more upbeat than I am on my podcast. And a lot of the ideas I've shared here, I may not do everything even the same way I'm telling you to do it or telling you you could do it. I'm going to base it on what my students need and my personality. I can tell if I'm feeling a little anxious or, ooh, it's a little louder in here today. We need to like bring the instruments back down a little bit. Or I can tell if I'm trying to teach a movement activity, I'm starting to feel a little stressed and overwhelmed about it. It might mean I'm moving too fast. And so when you hear a presenter give you an idea, and I know I'm guilty of this as well, it doesn't mean that that idea doesn't work. It just might mean this is the finished product, or they're moving at a faster pace with you because you're the adult. So when you're teaching that idea to your students, remember they're kids, and remember you're going to have to break the process down a little bit more with them. And so, but I also want you to remember to bring your personality into the mix and be okay being you. So I hope this episode has helped you to know that you are a good enough music teacher. And I want you to reframe maybe those negative thoughts that have been going through your head and to remember that you're exactly who you should be in your music room with your students. Have an amazing week, and I will see you next week with another episode. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.